You've heard of the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA, but have you heard of the Legacy IRA? Hi, I'm Rob West. If you're not familiar with the latest variation of the individual retirement account, it wouldn't be surprising. It's only gone into effect this year. We'll talk about the Legacy IRA today. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so first we should point out that the Legacy IRA is really a traditional IRA, the difference really being in how each is used. Obviously, the traditional IRA provides income directly to retirees as they take distributions. A Legacy IRA also provides income to a retiree, but indirectly, through the use of a charitable gift annuity, or CGA. Now, we've talked about those before, but here's a quick refresher. A CGA is an agreement between a donor and a nonprofit organization. The donor gives assets to the nonprofit. The nonprofit then gives the donor regular payments for life based on the value of the assets donated. When the donor dies, the nonprofit keeps the assets. So the CGA is a form of planned giving that's actually been around for more than a century and has greatly benefited churches, ministries, and missions over the years. It gives donors the assurance that their gifts are used in ways that align with their Christian values while still providing income while they live. Now, the charitable gift annuity has always offered tax deductions for the donor, both on the lump sum gift and the regular annuity payments, but with one huge limitation. They could only be made with after-tax dollars before the donor's death. And here's where the IRA comes back into the picture. If you had a qualified retirement account, such as an IRA or 401k that you funded with pre-tax dollars, you could not use those funds to set up a qualified charitable annuity. That cut out many believers who would have liked to set up a CGA with their favorite ministry, but their assets were all tied up in a traditional IRA. They would have to withdraw those funds and pay taxes on them before they could contribute to a CGA. Well, that all changed with the Secure 2.0 Act passed in December. It created what is now called the Legacy IRA and the ability for folks over age 70 and a half with a traditional IRA to take advantage of the charitable gift annuity. So here's how it works, and I apologize for the alphabet soup because we now have to add one more ingredient. The Legacy IRA is really more of an amount than a separate retirement account. Under the new law, folks 70 and a half can take up to $50,000 from a traditional IRA and make a one-time qualified charitable distribution, meaning the money comes out untaxed, and set up a charitable gift annuity. So IRA to QCD to CGA. If you want to do this, but all of your funds are still in a 401k, you simply have to roll them over to an IRA, and that would then become your Legacy IRA. But again, you can do this only once in your lifetime, and the limit is $50,000. The law requires that the annual payout from the charitable gift annuity be at least 5%. Now, there are many potential benefits with using IRA funds to set up a charitable gift annuity. It allows donors to increase their giving and ensure their future giving matches their values. It lowers the donor's tax liability in the year the CGA is funded by excluding the amount of the gift from taxable income. It could satisfy all or part of a required minimum distribution. It sets up steady lifetime payments to the donor or donor and spouse. The minimum 5% return in annual payments is competitive with historic CD rates and government bonds. There is typically no cost to the donor to set up and administer the CGA. The nonprofit holding the funds will do all of that. So just who's using these new Legacy IRA provisions to set up CGAs? Well, folks over 70 and a half with appreciated stock or mutual fund shares who want to reinvest some of those assets to generate more income without paying capital gains taxes. Also, those who want fixed lifetime payments unaffected by the markets, and those who want to ensure continued payments to a loved one without going through probate. In the past, the inability to use pre-tax dollars to set up a charitable gift annuity was a major obstacle to small donors. That obstacle is now removed. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's hard to think about other people when you're hurting. An intense physical pain often makes it very hard to even speak at all. And yet Jesus, hanging on the cross, was able to do both. The weight of the sin of the world was dwarfing his physical pain, an agony beyond our ability to understand. And yet Jesus was able to look down at his mother and his disciple John and say, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to that disciple, "Here is your mother." In the midst of his pain, Jesus was aware of theirs and spoke of their concern. What a picture of the immense love of Jesus. And today that same Jesus wants to spend time with you. Invest in your walk with Jesus through Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Liberties have become licensed to sin and hurt others. But Paul jumps on that doctrine with both feet and he says, love is not like that. Love does not seek its own. Love considers the other person.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Power of Love, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
You know, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources, the King of Kings resources. That's an incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes lives focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. And let's dive in. We're going to go to Oklahoma first. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much to the Ministry of Faith Fi, and thank you for taking my call, Rob.
Thank you, sir.
I currently have a bank. I've been with them a number of years, and through that bank I have two credit cards, and one actually I carried before I ever opened that bank account. I've carried that credit card for 25 years, and it's a pretty smooth operation, you know, when you have the two credit cards in the bank, and then
yeah.
You have the savings and credit or savings and checking account. But I've heard that this bank closed an account for a senator in Kansas not too long ago, because I guess the only reason seemed to be he's a conservative senator.
Right.
I've kind of gotten concerned. And also, I have money in the account with the bank that's earning only pennies a month. You know, they don't pay any interest, basically.
Yeah.
I need to at least move a significant amount of money from there somewhere else. I don't know where to go, what to do, or whether I should close that bank account or the one or both of those credit cards. I've been offered another credit card just recently. I have a couple more days to decide on it, whether I would apply for it, and it would actually pay more cash back than the card I normally use. So trying to make all these decisions.
Yeah, very good, James. Well, I appreciate that. Is the bank, does it happen to be J.P. Morgan Chase?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I figured. You know, Jerry Boyer, who's our resident economist, he joins us each Friday, actually put this on the shareholder meeting agenda, submitted this topic for the company leadership to respond to around why, asking them to explain why it's good for business that they would be debanking anyone when they're in the business of providing banking services to customers. And they didn't end up addressing that particular question, but he posed it nevertheless. You know, I think we live in a time here, James, where we have the opportunity to, first of all, know what our convictions are. And I think this is a conviction matter. This would be a Romans 13 issue, let each one be fully convinced in his own mind, as to who we want to do business with. And that can include who you bank with. It can also include your deployment of capital, how you invest, what kinds of companies are you investing in, and do their primary business activities align with your values and convictions? I think this is a conscience matter. You can even look at how they use their corporate profits and determine whether you want to be aligned with those companies. There's even options now through faith-based investing to screen in companies who are really promoting human flourishing and even seeking a kingdom impact as a part of their value creation with investment. So I think we've got options now that we haven't had in the past. And clearly, if you have a conviction that this is not an institution you'd like to do business with, well, I would say that's reason enough for you to look to make a change. Now, where do you go? Well, I think if you're looking for a banking partner that shares your values, one option to consider would be Christian Community Credit Union. You could learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's just one option. There are certainly others. Whether you stay with one of the big national banks because you believe, you know, that they have a better, you know, banking platform, or you want to be able to walk into a local branch, I would certainly understand that, and you could do your due diligence on each of them. A helpful website is inspireinsight.com, inspireinsight.com. You can actually type in any ticker symbol of a stock, a publicly traded company, of which the banks you would likely be considering are those, and it will give you a report on, you know, all of the areas where they're using corporate dollars to support initiatives that may conflict with your values. And then you could use that information to determine which bank you wanted to go with, whether it was one of the big nationals that have a local presence in your area or a community credit union like Christian Community Credit Union. Either one could be an option. So I would prayerfully consider that. And although it's a hassle, I would encourage you to follow the leading of the Lord as you ultimately make that decision. Now, in terms of the credit card, I mean, obviously we have no problem with credit cards. You know, the credit cards aren't the problem. It's the way we use them. So as long as you're using them for budgeted items, paying them off at the end of the month, they can be very convenient and offer great benefits, including cashback rewards. In terms of comparing who has the best cashback reward offers right now, I would encourage you to go to either NerdWallet or Bankrate.com or CreditCards.com. Any of those would allow you to search and sort by the type of benefit you're looking for, whether it's travel benefits or cashback, and then find which banks or credit card companies are offering the very best terms right now and reward benefits, so you could make that selection. And what you may decide is that the credit card you choose to use moving forward may be different from the banking partner that you select. I think with regard to savings, you probably want to look at those same websites I mentioned, like Bankrate.com, and see if you might want to form a relationship with one of the online banks that you would then link to your primary checking account, because you know you could probably do a lot better in terms of your interest rate on your savings. So with the online banks, you can get up 4.5% right now with no fees, no minimums, and that could be linked electronically to your checking account. Is all of that helpful, James?
Very much, very much. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we appreciate your call today. I know this is challenging, and nobody likes to, especially if you have bill pay going on and you've got recurring debits and charges taking place. I realize it can be a hassle, but I would say it's worth it for you to really prayerfully consider your convictions and then decide who you want to be doing business with. If you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. You could also use the money management, the spending plan portion if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The LGBT movement isn't new. Since 1968, it's been making its way into the Christian church, and now we're seeing parts of the church starting to affirm the quote-unquote gay Christian lifestyle. How did we get here? In the book Dangerous Affirmation, author M.D. Perkins sheds light on how Christians are being lured away from God's truth and calls us to faithfulness to God's design. You can get the ebook version of Dangerous Affirmation today at resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. I came across this quote recently from Paul David Tripp. He writes this in his book, Sex and Money. He says that money is one of God's good creations, but this good thing becomes a bad thing for you when it becomes a ruling thing. You simply cannot serve the King of Kings and have acquisition of wealth as the organizing dream of your heart. Think about that. That's powerful. Listen to this again. Money is one of God's good creations, but this good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes a ruling thing. And here's the key. You simply cannot serve the King of Kings and have acquisition of wealth of the as the organizing dream of your heart. And, you know, that's so true. It's not that money is bad, as Paul David Tripp says. This is one of God's good creations. The question is, how are we using it? And is it, in fact, a tool to bless others and for us to enjoy and for us to meet the needs of our families? Or is it something that becomes an end, that we're pursuing it because we think it will give us some sort of lasting fulfillment or fill a void in our lives that was only intended to be filled by God? That's really the key. And on this program, we want to point you to an eternal perspective and allow you to run to the arms of Jesus, who is your abundance, and allow money to be a tool, a good creation from God to be used for good in the world, including for your enjoyment. Well, let's go to Hobe Sound, Florida, WRMB. Hi, Charles. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just have a question on drawing Social Security. So I'll be 66 and a half next June on the 18th. So will I draw that month for Social Security, or do I have to wait to July?
Yeah, it'd be the next month. Social Security benefits are paid the month after they're due. So if you tell them you want your benefits to start in, you know, October, you would receive your first payment in November. Now, if your birthday is between the 11th and the 20th of the month, you would expect to receive your direct deposit payment each month to hit on the third Wednesday, but it would happen in the month following that, the month of your birthday that you start to claim benefits.
So what's the, is there a cutoff date? Like what date they decide to push it to the next month, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, the month in which you claim those benefits, it's not going to kick in that month whenever you decide to start claiming those benefits. So if you elect in the month of your birthday to start, you know, claiming benefits, it would kick in the following month.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that helpful?
All right. Well, not really. I'm kind of hearing what you're saying, but so if I decided to claim it in June, I would need to file it in May?
Well, you'd want to wait till you reach full retirement age, or else you're going to have a reduction, a slight reduction. You know, so if you want to get the full amount, you would want to wait until your birthday, and then you'd start receiving it the next month. If you were willing to accept that, it'd be basically 1/12 of 8% that you would lose if you took it a month, claimed it a month early, then it would kick in the next month.
Yeah, I don't want to lose any of it, so I'd probably just be better to wait then.
Yeah. So if you claim it the moment you turn full retirement age, you get your full benefit, and then that first check would come the following month.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Charles. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on the program. To Wisconsin. Hi, Sherry. Go right ahead.
so much for your ministry. I love listening to you. I try to listen to you every day.
Well, thank you.
My son is 20 years old, and he has a good job, makes pretty good money, and he is looking to buy a new used vehicle, and he has $15,000 saved, but of course we know vehicles are very expensive, and
yes.
Just trying to get some information. We don't have a lot to pick from for options for a local bank. What do you suggest where he would go to get a decent rate on a vehicle to borrow money for the rest of the vehicle?
Yeah, very good. I'll give you two websites you can go to. And what they do is every month they publish the lenders and the rates that they're offering, and you can sort them, you know, by those that, you know, are the most compelling, you know, the best rates, and they will tell you for the various, you know, ranges of dollar amounts that you're borrowing, you know, what that rate will be. I would look at either nerdwallet.com or bankrate.com. Either of those would allow you to find who has the very best auto loan rates for used cars. And, you know, you could shop around and maybe get two or three. If you want to use a Christian solution that aligns with your values, you could check with Christian Community Credit Union as well. JoinChristianCommunity.com. They have auto loans as low as $599 right now, and even some further discounts if you have automated payments. But, you know, if you're really just wanting to shop for, you know, that lender that has the most compelling rates right now, I think, you know, NerdWallet or Bankrate would be a great source for you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Sherry. Thanks for your call today. To Indianapolis. Hi, George. Go ahead, sir.
Great. Hey, I have two quick questions. One, I have an emergency fund and for 6 months spending, and it's just sitting in a savings account, not growing. I want to have some kind of return on that money first. So what should I do there? And the second question is, I'm 65. I'm trying to grow my, which I can't put anything in my 401k. What can I do just to start investing?
Yeah, very good. Well, for the first one, I would send you to the same place I've sent the previous caller, bankrate.com. You would just be selecting to sort by the banks that are offering the best rates. What you're going to find is they're going to be online banks that are going to be able to get you north of 4% with no fees, no minimums. You'll see which ones are offering the most compelling rates. As long as there's FDIC insurance, I'm good. They even offer a 5-star rating. Stay on the line just around the corner. I'll give you the answer to the second question. We'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Find peace in God's Word.
In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind. Frequently in life, we find ourselves in a whirlwind, don't we? Really, the wording means His way prevails even over above the storms of the whirlwind. God is in control. He has His way even above the noise of the storm.
Don't miss Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up with the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you?
Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Back to the phones we go to Indianapolis. We were talking with George before the break. He's got a 6 months worth of emergency funds and a savings account, really not earning anything, and wanted to know how he can do better. I was saying to George, Bankrate.com would allow him to find who has the very best rates right now for high-yield savings. You can find a bank with no fees, no minimums, link that to your checking account as long as there's FDIC insurance. You know, he could do pretty well right now with over 4% a year, which is great. Rates we haven't seen until recently for more than a decade. The second part of George's question had to do with investing. And George, you were saying that you really haven't started with your long-term investments. You're just looking to put something away for retirement, which is just around the corner. Is that right?
Well, I have. It's a small amount. It's like $70,000. But I wanted to know, how can I grow that being retired?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. You know, at 65, I mean, I would tend to recommend that, you know, you still keep as much as maybe 45% in stocks. If you wanted to have an allocation of precious metals, maybe you go 35 or 40% in stocks, 10% in precious metals, and then the balance in bonds. The reason is, even once you're in retirement at 65, you want to have some sort of growth component to this. So with $70,000, you'd typically do that through a mutual fund or a few mutual funds, either a balanced fund that has both stocks and bonds, or maybe an allocation to some stock funds to that, you know, up to that 40% target, and then the balance in some bond mutual funds, which would give you a good broad diversification. And in terms of selecting those, you can either hire an advisor, although you may be just under, you know, the minimum that some advisors would have. And you could find a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com, or our friends at soundmindinvesting.org through the Sound Mind Investing newsletter could really provide some helpful suggestions and recommendations for an investing strategy that's consistent with your age and goals and objectives. And you'd actually be given the mutual funds to invest in, and then, you know, that would change over time. And you could direct that money yourself, you know, by either doing it from where it's currently housed, or maybe you move it over to a Fidelity or a Schwab, some kind of, you know, custodian that gives you access to a lot of mutual funds. So that would be a great way to go. Again, if you wanted kind of a hands-off approach, you hire an advisor. If you want kind of a, you direct it, but, you know, with some help, that's where soundmindinvesting.org comes in. And then if you want kind of a completely automated solution, you could look at a robo-advisor like Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Those would use exchange-traded funds based on a series of questions you would answer to build a very low cost index portfolio, which is, it's just a simple way of saying you're going to own the broad market indexes like the S&P 500 or the Russell 1000 or, you know, one of the bond indexes, but it's going to build that for you. And then every time you add more to it, if you plan to contribute along the way, you know, it would automatically reinvest it according to the strategy. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I appreciate it. Thank you
okay,
very much.
George. You're welcome. Thanks for your call today. Let's see. We're going to head to Illinois. Guadalupe, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, I have a teenager and my daughter would like to get her started with a little bit, like want to make sure if I, she should bank where I bank, if that's a good idea, or pick another bank where she could start getting like a debit so she could learn how to save, and if she needs to go somewhere that she has like that debit card, and if there's no funds that she could learn from that experience that when you don't have any more money, that that's it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, that's a great idea. You know, you certainly could do it at your bank. I mean, there are accounts that are geared toward teens. One of those that we've used with our kids is the Capital One. They call it the money account. It's their teen checking that comes with a debit card. You can go that, you can do that for children as young as 8 years old. It's actually a joint account with the parent or the legal guardian. And then once they turn 18, they can choose to open a checking account and transfer their balance to the money account. But prior to 18, that money account is great, primarily because it's really built for this purpose. So they have a great smartphone app that allows you to turn on and off that debit card. For instance, if they were to lose it, it's very easy for you to log in and monitor it. It's very easy for you to add money to it, you know, or take money out as you see fit from other linked accounts. So, you know, I think that's a great one, and it's not going to help her build credit, but it is a way that you can have full visibility, help her understand the importance of hard work, understand the importance of limited resources, help her set up a budget or a spending plan, and then learn how to handle that money, you know, using the debit card, whether that's, you know, embedded in her phone or with a physical debit card that she would use. But that smartphone app that's designed for parents, you know, would give you visibility into everything that's going on. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. So Capital One. Okay.
Yeah. If you just search for Capital One Money for Teens, it will come right up. Yep. And they can get that as low as 8 years old. But we appreciate it. Hopefully that helps you, Guadalupe. I'm delighted to hear that you're thinking long and hard about how you can train up the next generation in being wise stewards of God's money. We appreciate you calling today. Let's head to Kansas City. Josephine, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling because my husband became retired a few years ago, but before that, he worked for a company that closed, and they moved to another state, to St. Joseph, Missouri, and he never did get his retirement from them.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to figure out find a way to get it, but we haven't gotten nowhere. And I just want to know your advice of what you could tell us on that.
Yeah. Josephine, did you all stop getting statements from the plan administrator?
Stop getting statements?
Yeah. Are you getting any kind of statements?
Yes.
Okay. So nothing's coming in the mail. No. Are you able to, I mean, first thing you could do, I mean, there are places you can go like the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation at pbgc.gov or, you know, unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. But I would start with the company itself. I mean, just because they moved and relocated, you know, he should still have an account there. Have you called their customer service just to try to chase this down with his Social Security number?
Yes, we have. And they would transfer us to someone else, and we just never got anywhere.
Yeah.
That we never got anywhere, and they would say, well, we'll call you back, we'll get this information, and blah, 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 but they never got back.
Okay,
we never got anywhere.
Well, they're unfortunately, I mean, despite their poor customer service that you're describing here, they are going to be the best way for you to get, you know, to the bottom of this and find out what you're owed, because anything else is actually going to kind of go through a government entity, and that's just going to further complicate things. So I would just be really diligent, perhaps maybe call every day and just see if, you know, what you can do to get somebody on the phone who's willing to help you, try to escalate it to another department or to a superior, and just tell them, listen, I need to chase down this account and I need you to help me to do it. And, you know, I've been getting the runaround here. Anything else is just going to add further complication and red tape to you getting the bottom of this. So I'd just be diligent and continuing to call. I wish I had better information. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's head right back to the phones to Moscow, Idaho. Hi, Jesse. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. Well, so many questions. I am a sole proprietor, business owner, self-employed, and my family has gone through a litany of medical issues since December. My daughter was in a life-threatening accident. She's okay, thank Jesus. And then I myself ended up with sepsis in January with ongoing neurological problems since that. And then my husband was in a motorcycle accident in April and compound femur break and multiple surgeries so far. Our emergency fund is now exhausted. I am, because of my health, I am dissolving my business, so I am not currently making an income. So we're trying to figure out, my business carries about $18,000 in debt, which has been paid off, like been worked at paying off until this point. And I'm wondering, should we look at the option of consolidating the business debt? We also do have about $12,000 in personal debt that we've been chipping on as well. But with all of these crises happening all at once, if that would be an option for us, or if there's another option, or if we should possibly borrow from our house and roll into there. It's at a 2.5 interest rate, and we have a bit. If we did it all, rolled it into that, it would cover all of it, just to breathe a little. We're kind of like, what do we do?
I appreciate that. So have things stabilized a bit, Jesse? I mean, I realize now you've lost your income.
Right.
So what are you,
medical
what is
bills
your
are still ongoing?
Okay.
So
all right. And so those will continue to climb.
Adding up.
Yeah, and then what's the income situation like?
My husband is employed okay. and he's full time. And yeah. he's pretty secure. Hopefully.
Okay.
As long as nothing
sure.
else.
Yeah. And so I understand that. So apart from new medical bills, are you all able to cover your monthly expenses and service both of these debts, the 18 and the 12?
No.
Okay. All right. And are there any assets in the business that you're closing down?
I am attempting to sell everything, and it's just a kind of a waiting game. It's my business deals with animals, so I can't just I have to keep them alive while they're in my care before they can go find new homes, and that's been really it's been a struggle.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Do you have a sense of what you might be able to generate once you are able to sell off the assets?
As of right now, my condition is not, we don't have a diagnosis yet and we don't have any prognosis. So I'm just kind of still winging it and still have some pretty severe health issues ongoing.
Sure. I'm so sorry to hear about that. Well, once you have relocated all the animals, do you have a sense of what you might be able to generate through the sale of business assets?
If I'm able to liquidate my business, it should pay off all of the business debts. I might not have any more, not a penny more than that. And at this point, it's like, okay, whatever.
Sure.
But at least that would be no more debt.
And is that something that could happen relatively quickly?
I would hope so, but it's not.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that's obviously the priority because what I don't want you all to do, I certainly don't want you to touch that 2.5% mortgage, but I also don't want you to take this personal debt or business debt and now secure it to your house. So if things were to get worse, all of a sudden we're putting your home at risk. I mean, I realize it will take the pressure off because we're extending it out over, you know, whatever it would be. I mean, I wouldn't, again, do a new mortgage and take that 2.5 up to 7, but if you did a home equity loan and you, you know, had a 20-year payback, I mean, that could take some pressure off. But now we've taken unsecured debt, we've secured it to your primary residence, and I just don't like that. And we don't have a long-term solution currently to some of the challenges that could create more financial difficulty along the way. So I think the key is to try to, I mean, we want to try to protect your credit, but you can only do what you can do. And so I think you all do whatever you can possibly do. I understand your health may prevent you from, you know, doing anything to bring income in. Perhaps your husband can try to pick up a side job temporarily just to get through this season. I mean, is there some other way to raise income to keep that debt current? Try to quickly relocate those animals. If you know that you can't continue with the business, get those assets sold. Try to at least pay off that business debt and then just focus on getting your budget as lean as possible to attack or at least service that personal debt. Is it credit cards?
Yes. And my husband would probably pick up a second job if he was not walking on a broken femur.
All
three or four of us have been down and out since December.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. Do you all have good health insurance?
We do. Thank God. And we have LifeFlight insurance. That's a shameless plug. If you don't have it, go get it. It's worth the weight in gold.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Whatever service is in the area. Cause that was my daughter's.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's do this. I want to connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors who can just help you kind of look at everything in detail and walk alongside you to see if we can help you get pointed in the right direction. Let's just pray that, you know, God will give you the strength and the wisdom to know how to, you know, unwind this business if that's the direction that you're going and do it quickly and get out from under this business debt. You know, thank goodness for the, you know, we're grateful to the Lord for that health insurance that you have. And, you know, I think if we can rein in spending, perhaps your husband, you know, is, you know, able to get back on his feet, literally, and, you know, perhaps pick up a second job to service that debt. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help get you one level monthly payment for that debt. probably 2-3% of the total balance, you know, so at $12,000, you know, we'd be looking, you know, at maybe $360 a month. I mean, I realize that's not insignificant, but if you could swing that, especially with the lower interest rates they could offer, we could at least help get, you know, that going in the right direction. I think the key would be, let's try to do this without touching any of the equity in the home. Obviously, if things get dire, you know, you could look at selling the house. I mean, although that's not necessarily going to solve anything because of what's going on in the housing market, and then you'd pick up another smaller place at a much higher interest rate, and so, you know, now the affordability just becomes a real problem. So I'm going to have you stay on the line. We're going to get your information, and I'm going to have one of our Christian financial counselors call you. We're going to cover the cost for this, Jesse, and this will just be somebody who can really help you go through the numbers and work with you and your husband together on a plan, you know, week by week on where we go from here, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, happy to do it. You stay on the line, and we'll have somebody pick it up and get your information. Let's head to Florida. Hi, Mike. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Rob? Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yes. I have a question about the capital gains tax. My mom, she's going to sell a piece of real estate, but potentially she's probably going to pay $200,000 in potential capital gains tax. Is there any way that we can kind of not avoid it, but kind of gift it to kind
well,
of?
Yeah. So give me a rundown of what she's doing. How much is she selling this house for?
She's going to list it probably for like a little over $1 million.
Okay. So she's listed for $1 million. And what is her cost basis?
Cost basis, what she paid for it was, yeah. I mean, we're talking about over 40 years, like $60,000.
Okay. So, and then has she made significant improvements to it or additions or anything like that?
I would say since she owned the house to now?
Yes.
I would say probably about like $50,000.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then what is her adjusted gross income? Is she married filing singly as a single person or a joint?
She's married. She's married, okay. But this is not her primary house though.
Right. No, I understand that. But what is their adjusted gross income roughly? Do you know?
Roughly combined, I would say no more than $30,000.
Okay. Well, they're probably not going to pay any capital gains. And here's why. So long-term capital gains rates have to do with your adjusted gross income. And if you're married filing jointly and your adjusted gross income is under $83,000, then your capital gain rate is zero.
Okay, even though that's not the primary house?
Right. If it was her primary house, then they would get, you know, up to $500,000 in gains they could offset. But she's okay. And you're telling me, let's say her cost basis is $100,000, what she paid for it plus the additions. She sells it for $1 million. She's got a $900,000 capital gain. So then you would say, okay, what is the capital gain rate? Well, to determine the long-term capital gain rate for 2023, you would go to the table and you'd say, okay, for somebody married filing jointly, up to $89,000, $89,250 in adjusted gross income, the capital gain rate is zero.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
so she should be in good shape.
Okay.
Now,
all right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me just finish with this. I will say, you know, I'm getting a sliver of information, so always a good idea to check with your CPA just to go over all the final numbers and make sure we're not missing something here. But just generally speaking, married filing jointly up to $89,000, capital gain rate for assets held more than a year in 2023 is 0%. You don't get the 15% rate until you have income of over $89,251.
So around $90,000, that's the mark we look at.
That's the mark, yeah. And that's income, not the gain. That's your adjusted gross income
correct.
For the year. But make sure you check in with your CPA because anytime you have a major event like this or, you know, something, you just always want to get good counsel. Hey, Mike, thanks for being a great son, and we appreciate you listening to the program today. God bless you. We covered a lot of ground today. So thankful you were along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's my absolute privilege to join you each day to encourage you, to provide hope, and to direct you back to godly wisdom, which is the only wisdom we want for the entirety of our lives, but certainly that includes this area of financial management. On behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland providing research, Devin Patrick, our producer and engineer, and Robert Youngblood managing our phones today, I'm Rob West.
Thanks for being along with us. Have a great rest of your day. May the Lord bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.